Hello, I'm Rebecca Rosewood, and this is Thrice Cursed. Warning, Thrice Cursed is a true crime and paranormal podcast. It is intended for mature audiences. Some graphic depictions of violence and other unpleasant material may exist beyond this point. For more specific content warnings, please reference the episode notes. Today we'll be continuing on our road trip, but before we get into that, I just want to clarify something from the last episode. So last week's episode about William Deshaun Hamilton, I said that I was continuing my 22 Solved in 22 podcast or series. You weren't, so if you heard that and were like, continuing, what are you talking about? You weren't confused. I was. That was the second episode in that series, and I recorded them out of order and therefore edited them out of order. You will be hearing the first episode next week. The order doesn't necessarily matter. There was no particular reason for the order, other than that's just how I researched and scripted them. But yeah, so moving on back to our road trip. So we stopped in Barstow for a few hours to take a quick nap. And when I say we, I mean Luke took a nap and the cats kept me up. Because you see, we did this genius thing where we were like, well, we don't want the cats to be locked up in their carriers for 3 days while we make this drive. Well, let's just train them in the car on leashes and then let them free roam in the back. So they were on leashes and the leashes were attached to one of the headrests in the car. But as you can imagine, three free roaming cats in a very small vehicle, and cats are typically nocturnal, I believe, at least ours are, much to my dismay. Three creatures that love being up at night in a very small vehicle with two people trying to sleep. It's probably not going to go super well. So Luke took a nap. I tried to keep the cats away from him so that, you know, he could get some sleep and one of us could have sleep so that we could drive. So that is what happened. But we're finally out of the massive state that is California and have moved on into Nevada. And yes, I do hear the majority of you yelling, I know what a map looks like. Thanks. But for those of us that are the product of the American public education system, I figured I'd get real specific with our travels. Seriously, no judgment. I only realized that Vermont is north of Maryland this week. I never claimed to know much, after all. Seriously, why are you listening? But moving on. So now we're in Nevada, a state whose main export is Sin City. And I'm well aware that Nevada is more than just Las Vegas. I can feel my inbox filling up with angry emails from Reno, Carson City, Sparks, etc. I promise I see you. But in that vein, it would have been a bit obvious to choose a case from Las Vegas. So we'll be skipping the party scene today. We'll have to do body shots and Chippendales another time. Instead, we're going to take a slight detour from our planned driving route and take a trip up to Reno, Nevada, and up to the gated golf and country club community of Montreux. Montreux Champions itself is a private luxury lifestyle community. Each home is either semi-custom or custom, and prices today range from $2 to $5 million. With homes as expensive as these, security was included in the cost of the HOA. In addition to the neighborhood patrols, a guarded gatehouse sat at the main entrance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service entrance, however, was guarded only 12 hours per day. Still, residents were required to inform the security team of any and all expected visitors. Anyone contracted to do work in the community had to provide their identification and register to obtain a 1 to 30 day pass for entrance into Montreux. These deep precautions are one of the reasons it was so shocking when Albert and Joan Musolo were found murdered in their home, shot to death. The other reason was that Albert and Joan Musolo were kind people who seemed to be universally loved by everyone they knew. And I know that sounds like something that they say in every true crime documentary ever, but it's true. Albert Raymond Musolo and Joan Elizabeth Behrman were both born in Brooklyn, New York. They graduated from separate high schools and didn't meet until they went on to work at Brooklyn Gas and Electric. The two fell in love and married on January 24, 1953, at Our Lady of Angels Church in Brooklyn. With an overwhelming amount of love to give, they brought four children into their family. Throughout their lives, the family moved around quite often to accommodate Albert's career as a flight engineer for Pan Am Airlines. They lived all over the U.S. and in parts of Europe before settling down in Nevada in 1973. It was there that they would raise their family. While Albert worked, Joan took care of the children. News articles describe her as a homemaker who genuinely found joy in cooking and entertaining family and friends. After 33 years working for Pan Am Airlines, Albert retired. With his newfound free time, Albert spent his days with Joan. Those who knew the couple described them as friendly and never apart. Despite having amassed a considerable amount of wealth, the couple owned only one vehicle. Anywhere one went, so did the other. This wasn't out of necessity, but by choice. In spite of the outward appearances, the Musolos were anything but frivolous. Plus, they enjoyed each other's company. Joan and Albert had both grown up during the Depression, and because of this, they were pretty frugal in most aspects of their lives. When they decided to move to Montreux in 2004 to be closer to their children, they even opted for a home that was valued on the low end for the community, coming in at $1.2 million. Albert and Joan loved their new community. They quickly made friends with their neighbors and enjoyed taking walks and golfing. Albert also enjoyed skiing, and Joan played tennis. Despite being 75 years old, they were both healthy and active. That is, until March 28, 2006. Albert and Joan had been planning a trip to New York to visit their family members. They were set to leave within the next few days, and their daughter, Joanne Coles, wanted to invite them to dinner before they left. She called, but received no answer. It wasn't like her parents to not pick up the phone, so she called again. But again, there was no answer. This caused immediate concern. Had they both fallen ill? She called the community security company and requested they check in on her parents. They obliged, making the quick drive over to the Musolo's home. They didn't notice any clear signs of a disturbance, and there was no answer when they knocked on the door. The security guards relayed this information back to Joanne, who refused to accept that as an answer. Joanne and her husband took to the snow-covered roads, seeking answers. In later interviews, Joanne said that the entire drive over, she thought they'd merely fallen ill with the flu or had a power outage because of the snow. Because of their good health, she never expected that anything truly awful could have happened to them. Upon arriving at their home, however, she knew something was amiss almost instantly. There were muddy footprints tracked through the home. Sick or otherwise, it was unlike her mother to ever leave that kind of a mess to sit. The reality of the situation hitting her, Joanne asked her husband to walk down the hall to her parents' room. It's there that Albert and Joan Musolo were discovered, deceased in their bed. The police arrived and discovered no signs of forced entry. Prior to Joanne and her husband's arrival, the doors had been locked. The only signs of someone else's presence were footprints beneath the snow, to be discovered after the thaw, starting at the 6-foot wall separating Albert and Joan's home from a public hiking trail, the mud tracked through the house, a cut phone line, and several missing items. Authorities also discovered a small amount of DNA belonging to an unidentified male. Friend and neighbor Marv Burton told Reno Gazette Journal that the Musolo's home was isolated from the neighborhood roadway and backed against Galena Creek. Someone could easily come in through many access points to get on the trail, and if they selected a house easiest to get to from the trail, it would be owls. Given that the Musalos didn't appear to have any enemies, at first glance, it appeared that robbery would have been the most logical motive. However, even though the exact items that were taken have never been made public, authorities have said that they had no significant value, leaving what was once the most likely option to seem questionable at best. Lieutenant Tom Green of the Washoe County Sheriff's Office said that it appears the Musalos were specifically targeted, though for what reason remains a mystery. The authorities also believed that the killer had intimate knowledge of the Musalos' home due to there being no apparent signs of a break-in. But here's the thing. There was nothing in the couple's personal lives that would indicate someone would have reason to target them. No risky behavior or skeletons in their closet. They'd also never hired anyone to work within the home that would give them the knowledge needed to easily gain access. Unless the Musalos simply left their door unlocked and the killer had been watching them over several days to understand their patterns, it just doesn't make sense. Said in an interview that they were the type of folks that left their door open or invited someone in if they knocked. Hearing that, it's not inconceivable to think that their door had been left open. Though it wouldn't explain why the door was locked when security showed up for their check-in, unless the killer locked it, which would be odd, unless they'd intended to delay the discovery, giving them more time to escape. It's just a guess, but mine is as good as yours. With that being said, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Chastity, aka the Luminary Lunabeams.
And I'm Emily, the Fine Art Medium, and we are the hosts of the Lights at Midnight podcast.
Join us as we journey through the looking glass of our unusual lives as paranormal psychic mediums, piercing the veil between the physical world to illuminate the unseen.
Listeners can expect to hear some of our most spine-chilling supernatural experiences, including extraordinary encounters of special guests from the paranormal and spiritual communities.
Our purpose is to shed light on what goes bump in the night.
We are Lights at Midnight. Just Google Lights at Midnight podcast or search us on your favorite streaming apps.
Welcome back. An investigation into the couple's whereabouts and activities leading up to their deaths tells us that the last known interaction with the Musalos was with a furniture salesman on March 27th, sometime around noon. The newspaper from that day was present inside the home, and their internet history showed activity into the night. This and the mud on the floor gave authorities a timeline. Because there was a snowstorm on March 28th, the mud would have had to have come from the night prior, sometime between their last activity on the computer and the morning. The police's theory is that the killer cut the phone lines before entering the Musalos' home and murdering them as they slept. In March 2008, the Washoe County Sheriff's Office revealed in a news article that they wanted to question a man named Stephen Porter Goines, who also went by the alias Donovan Davis, but that he was not considered to be a suspect. Deputy Brooke Keese did not share why they wanted to speak to him, but did say that Goines had been known to frequent casinos in the Reno Sparks area. Stephen Goines has a criminal record, with two warrants out for his arrest as of 2007. The warrants were for failure to appear in court, where he was to be sentenced for a 2007 felony charge for eluding a police officer, as well as enter a plea for two robbery charges and a burglary charge. After that news article, released in 2008, there were no further mentions of Goines. And for all you web sleuths out there, let's not go hunting this guy down because we don't know if he did anything. Not to mention, if this was a burglary gone wrong, why was nothing of value taken? I don't know. I don't have the answers. In 2021, on the 15-year anniversary, a news article was published. In this article, Washoe County Sheriff Sergeant West Urban gave us some new insight into the case. According to him, the file on Albert and Joan's murder is 17 binders full and growing, with tips popping up sporadically. Urban said that those leads have produced persons of interest, with the most recent one in 2017 involving an unspecified person in Alaska. This person has since been ruled out. Unfortunately, that's all I've got. Urban believes that the answer lies outside the file because, quote, too many good investigators have been through it, end quote. But he and I hold out hope that the DNA evidence will someday lead to the capture of the killer, or that someone somewhere will remember some small detail about that frosty night in March that will crack the case wide open. Should you know anything, you can submit a tip by calling Secret Witness at 775-322-4900, or click the link in the show notes or blog post to fill out a tip form. As always, that phone number and that link will be in the show notes and blog post. I'll be keeping my eye out for any updates. I'm also learning how to submit Freedom of Information Act requests, so hopefully in the future I can include more detail. Albert and Joan Musallo were kind, loving people who lived a quiet life. They were dedicated to each other and their children, and were content in just enjoying the presence of their loved ones. They left behind two daughters, two sons, and seven grandchildren. Possibly more now. I will end this episode by reading the obituary posted by Albert and Joan's children to legacy.com. In loving memory of Albert and Joan Musallo. 1 year ago, our loving parents, Al and Joan Musallo, were brutally and senselessly murdered. On March 28th, 2006, our parents' lives were taken at their Montreux home in Reno, Nevada. Their family and friends miss them each day, especially mom's infectious laughter and dad's guiding advice. We are still waiting for an answer as to how this senseless tragedy could have happened, and for the peace that will come from knowing that the murderer has been caught. If you have any information that could help solve this case, please contact the Reno Secret Witness Program at 775-322-4900. A reward of $35,000 is being offered for the arrest and conviction of the killer. Our parents made homes and friends in many places around the world. Dad was a flight engineer with Pan American Airlines for 33 years. Mom provided a loving home for her husband and four children, Susan, Richard, Joanne, and Robert. Natives of Brooklyn, New York, their wanderlust and dad's career brought them to Lindenhurst and Merrick, Long Island, Greenwich, Connecticut, Berlin, Germany, Moreira, Spain, Friday Harbor in Seattle, Washington, Bonita Springs, Florida, Tucson, Arizona, and Incline Village, Glenbrook, Genoa, and Reno, Nevada. In between packing to move, mom's never-ending hobby, they enjoyed tennis, golfing, sailing, skiing, flying, and playing Scrabble. Mom enjoyed preparing good food for everyone. The center of their lives was spending time with family and friends. Laughter and love filled their home. There will always be an ache in our hearts and a deep sorrow that comes from the way that they left this world, but we are grateful for the love and experiences we have shared together as a family, and will always cherish those memories that keep our parents near. This has been the cursed tale of the murders at Montreux, with two beautiful lives extinguished, and no answers to be found. Yet. For more Curse content, you can find my website at thricecursepod.com. Find me on socials at thricecursepod. Join the Discord server, Facebook group, or Patreon through links in the website. Or just shoot me an email to say, hey, thricecursepod@gmail.com. Until next time, keep your curses hexy and your hexes sexy. You will be receiving episode Astara. Astara, what are you doing? What the fuck, cat? Oh, hi, Tiger Lily. Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm in here recording, and my cats are just fighting at my microphone, but I could only see one of them. And all of a sudden, there's just glowing eyes out of the corner of the room. So I'm over here in a dark room with only my computer monitors lit up and just, you know, dying of fright. It's fine. Anyway. But for those of us thus, with an overwhelming amount of love to give, they brought their children. The authorities also believe that the killers?
No luck catching them killers then.
It's just the one killer, actually.
No luck catching them killers. killers, then?
It's just the one killer, actually.
No luck catching them killers, then?
It's just the one killer, actually.
Was with a furniture person? A furniture person. I am a couch. So if you were a couch, what kind of couch would you be? I think I would be pink velvet Victorian. Distraction. Moving on. Greenwich can... Nope. Greenwich.